Good morning. This week's chapter is chapter 10, An Act of Commitment, Out of the Mystical Eye by Joel Goldsmith. As I sat in meditation, these words came to me, says Joel. The womb of silence, and with them it was as if there were a tremendous silence, large and round, and this was the womb out of which all creation came. All creation was formed in this womb of silence. There was not a man, there was a universe. The earth, the rocks, the trees, streams, seas, skies, suns, moons, and planets, all this flowing forth as an unfoldment from this huge womb of penetrating complete stillness, yet more than stillness, absolute silence, quietness. It moves as if in a rhythm, and this rhythm not only forms it, but sustains creation with everything in its rightful place. Looking out into this universe, you can see there is cold, snow and ice in the north, and warmth in the south. Flowers and trees of one nature in the north and of another in the south. This rhythm, the rhythm that is flowing from that silence, maintains and sustains creation beautifully, all in its order. Eventually, man appears here and there on the face of the globe, also maintained by this rhythm that flows within his consciousness. It is a flow of rhythm that maintains the activity of the body, the organs and their functions. Everything seems to be responsive to this rhythm, and all this rhythm is flowing forth from that womb into form as grace, beauty, order, peace. The relationship between all these forms is harmonious. We could use the word love or loving, but there is no love or loving. There is only a naturalness of peace, contentment, and this is the rhythm in expression, the rhythm of the universe. When anything goes wrong in our experience, it is because we are out of tune with this rhythm. And so is man broken the moment he is moving outside the rhythm, outside the flow that brought him into manifestation and expression. The rhythm from the source maintains all creation in harmony, in law and order, and whatever it is that permits us to move in a way of our own or with a will of our own, a direction of our own, removes us from the flow of the rhythm. There may not be a possibility at this moment of explaining why or how we get out of attunement, but the acknowledgement must be made that as a human race we are not being governed by the rhythm of the spirit, the rhythm of the silence. It may very well be that it is because we insist on taking thought. We insist on a way of our own, a will of our own, a family strictly of our own, instead of recognizing the oneness of all life. It could well be that we will come partly back into the rhythm by acknowledging that there is only one family, and that we are of the household of God, thereby uniting ourselves with the peoples of all races, all religions, all nationalities. Acknowledging the common fatherhood of God would, in one way, restore harmony. This heading says, "The universal relationship of mankind must be acknowledged by an act." Is it clear that to reestablish ourselves in this original rhythm, it becomes necessary to do this by an act? Intellectual knowledge is not sufficient. It must be followed by an act. This is a commitment. This is an act of commitment. If we declare that we are all of the household of God and then continue to live only for our own family, for those of our own religion or our own nation, we are virtually contradicting ourselves, setting up a friction, and our condition is then worse than that of the person who is ignorant of this universal relationship. Once we acknowledge this universal relationship by an act of commitment, we must enter into the rhythm and begin to act in some way that will commit us to the welfare of those others outside the relationship of our home, community, nation, or church. If we merely acknowledge our Christhood instead of living out from our Christhood by an act, we at once set up a conflict within our own being that's far worse than if we had never heard of Christhood. There must be an act of commitment in which we live as the Christ, and in order to understand that, we may take such examples as Gautama the Buddha and Jesus the Christ and witness the nature of the life they lived. It is not that we are going to equal their life. That, of course, can never be. Each of us is an individual, and we unfold individually. But at least we can see what it means by accepting one's Christhood and then make a beginning by doing something, even if it is very little, unto the least of these, my brethren, so that this little that we do may continue to increase in scope, depth, breadth, and vision. To acknowledge the Christhood of our fellow man is to bring forth another act of commitment. Not only must I act out from the acknowledgement of my Christhood insofar as the light is given me, but in the moment that I recognize the Christhood of you, I am then called upon to act toward you as if you were the Christ. As I bow my head in the presence of the Master, so do I bow my head in the presence of everyone I meet. So, you have noticed, I'm sure, that those people from the land that is mostly Buddhists, in this case Japan, You have noticed, I'm sure, that they bow to each other. Very subtle, very quick. But it's an acknowledgement. There may be assured that it is as impossible to hide their degree of spiritual unfoldment from a teacher as it would be to hide from God, because there is a sign, and that sign is an act of commitment. But this is not until that act of commitment in one form or another is observed. It does not have to be observed physically. One does not have to be within thousands of miles of the student to know when the commitment has taken place. This brings us to an important part of the infinite way, unfoldment. It is not difficult to convince a person that he can get away with evil and be undetected by God. But we could do away with all prisons on earth if it were correctly taught that no one gets away with anything, because the judge is closer than breathing. It is one's very own consciousness. The judge does not act as many people have believed that God acts, sitting with a ledger, writing down the good deeds and the bad deeds. It acts like the law of mathematics. As long as we keep putting 2 times 2 together and getting 4, all is going well within our mathematical kingdom. Nobody is being rewarded. Mathematics is not being rewarded. Numbers are not being rewarded. It is just that all is well as the normal, natural unfoldment of the laws of mathematics or science. If we put 2 times 2 together and get 5, we do not receive any punishment. We merely have broken the rhythm of harmony. Nobody is being punished. Every time we violate spiritual law, the rhythm is broken. And we violate spiritual law every time that we do not acknowledge God as omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. And every time that we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the only 2 spiritual commandments there are. This is the rhythm of the entire created universe, including man. There is no way to violate the rhythm except to accept 2 powers, good and evil, in place of omnipotence of spirit. To accept a mind other than the mind of God. To accept a presence other than the presence of God. To do that breaks the rhythm. No one breaks it for us. As long as we are in obedience to acknowledging God in all our ways, knowing Him aright as the one and only power, the one and only presence, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, acknowledging the Christhood of ourselves, acknowledging the Christhood of our neighbor, and then acting out that love. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. If anyone tries to send a weapon at us, he destroys himself, if we know this truth. What about stealing? What about committing adultery? Is it not clear that if we are honoring our neighbor as the Christ, we would hardly be stealing from him or committing adultery. Such acts would not come under the spiritual law of loving our neighbor as ourselves. The rhythm of the universe provides all things necessary. There is a rhythm, and this rhythm of the universe makes each one of us an individual completely governed and fulfilled by the Spirit of God, with all things provided. This is what John Burroughs really said in his poem, Waiting. This poem is very much misunderstood, and there are many persons who believe that all they have to do is sit and wait, and their own will come to them. There are those who have been waiting a whole lifetime, and it has not happened yet, because they are still in that human state of consciousness which is outside the rhythm of the universe. But John Burroughs was speaking from the Spirit itself, and since he was in the rhythm of the Spirit, he was observing that our own will come to us, and we do not have to seek it. We sit by the side of the stream, and our own comes. As long as we are in the flow of obedience to loving God supremely, acknowledging the infinite I, the infinite consciousness, as the only power, presence, or wisdom, loving our neighbor as ourselves, doing unto our neighbor as we would have our neighbor do unto us, we are living in the rhythm. Sitting in the silence, acknowledging the I of my being, acknowledging omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresence, is the way. This is the way of restoring harmony, but always it must be accompanied by an act of commitment. We must have our realization and our act of reliance. But then we cannot separate this loving of God supremely from loving our neighbor as ourselves, as if they were two separate commandments. They are virtually two parts of one commandment. If we were to acknowledge God but not love our neighbor as ourselves, our formula would not work. We must acknowledge the flow of this rhythm from the silence that we enter, which is the womb from which all creation flows. The silence that we attain within is the womb, and out of this silence within flows all creation as it is necessary to our individual experience. With it flows the loving of our neighbor as ourselves. That comes quickly, but then it must be acted upon. There must be an act of commitment, and inasmuch as we have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto yourself. Or inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye have not done it unto yourself. Which is why I make these talks, so that I am doing something as an act of commitment. This is an act. I am acting on this realization. The rhythm of the universe is made up of the acknowledgement of I as God. omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, and by an act of commitment. The loving of our neighbor as ourselves is an act of commitment. There must be dedication and devotion to this principle, not to persons, but to principle. It should not make any difference to us whether the Russians get the benefit of our benefactions, or the Chinese, or the Cubans. What must concern us is our act of commitment to those outside our family circle, our nation, or our friends. Consciousness projecting itself. Man shall live by the word, not merely by bread. As we receive the word flowing from our consciousness through the silence and perform an act of commitment that binds and relates us to it, that identifies us with it, then we have come out from the rest of the world and become separate. Our world is an emanation of our consciousness. The higher our state of consciousness rises in obedience to these two commandments, the more joyous, peaceful, and harmonious becomes the created world, because the created world is a creation of our consciousness. If we could see or feel that behind us was this great consciousness projecting itself, and then if we did not get in its way by taking thought, this consciousness would flow in its infinite form and variety, and there would be no limitation in our universe or its harmony. It is only as we in some measure get in the way of this flow with the personal sense of I, me, and mine, that our universe is a bit less infinite than it should be. You may believe that you are following the infinite way by reading the books or hearing the message, but I say that you are not until you have arrived at the place of an act of commitment. You may believe that you are under the law of God, but I say you are not until you have brought yourself there by an act of commitment. You may believe that God's grace is going to take care of you, and I say that it is not until you have been brought to a place of commitment. So you have to act on your commitment. It's not enough to just say it or hear it or read it. We, you and I, have to act on our commitment. Commitment to what? Commitment to the two great commandments: loving God with all your mind, soul, and heart, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what we are committed to, and then we must act from that, and that becomes an act of commitment, you see? From this, you can see the importance of meditation. A meditation which is not a stopping of thought, not a deadening of consciousness, and not an escaping from the world, but a meditation in which the darkness or the silence is so great that you can look through it and see the whole of infinite consciousness behind you, ready to pour itself forth into your experience, into your expectant inner ear, as you invite it to speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You can actually feel that great, great area of consciousness behind you, pushing and pushing, sending itself forth into expression through your consciousness, as your consciousness, as the Word, as the still small voice, over and over repeating, I am come that you might have life. I am come that you might have. Take no thought for your life. I am come. And then you say, ah, that is why I have hidden manna. That is why I have meat the world knows not of. I have this I in the depth of this inner stillness and darkness, in the depth of this inner womb of silence. There is I. Be still and know that I am God. This is the hidden manna. This is the meat the world knows not of. This is the manna that I must keep sacred and secret, sharing only as those who come to me are ready. Do you think for a moment that you can turn to this rhythm of the Spirit just to have your life made more healthy or wealthy? There is no provision for that in the spiritual kingdom. You turn within that the Word of God may flow through you in the world. You will be taken care of, certainly. This, the way that provides not for the wayfarer, is no way to fare upon. This way of I does provide for us, but that is not the reason that we meditate. The reason we meditate is that the kingdom of God may be established on earth as it is in heaven. God forbid that we should want the kingdom of God on earth for us alone. This world would be very much like persons who buy bomb-proof shelters for their protection, and then after the world has been blown up, come out and find that they are the only people left on earth. We do not meditate so that we may find our peace, but that through us peace may flow to the world. You see the difference? He is instructing us on how to live an act of commitment, how to live out as Christ flowing forth, rather than trying to meditate to bring something to me, bring health or wealth or companionship to me. No, we are to meditate as the Christ. Father, flow. Speak your word. In this way we live this act of commitment. Okay. Are the illumined masters or are they servants? We do not meditate that we may find our peace, but that through us peace may flow to the world. To no man is it given to be enlightened for his own sake. It has never happened in the history of the world. Illumination will make you a servant. And so you must ask yourself, am I willing to act on this commitment? Am I willing to be a servant to all those who come to me? I will never be a master. I may master myself in that I no longer have me, I, me, and mine as my first line of thought, but I am to be a servant. This is why I make these talks. People seem to like the covering what the chapters say, but I'm thinking of going back to the way I used to do it and just letting it flow out. If other people call you a master, in your heart you will be smiling. You call me a master, but I know the extent to which I am a servant. I know the extent to which I am called upon to serve. All the rest of the world seems to be my master. No, illumination does not bring fancy titles or robes or a life of peace set apart. It brings a life of dedication, of devotion, of service, an act of commitment. When the Master told his disciples to leave their nets, he was asking for a sign of commitment. And if they received illumination from him, it was only that they should become fishers of men. Read the story of the life of Paul and notice the whippings, the imprisonments, and the hunger he endured in order to carry the message of the Christ to mankind. Examine the lives of all the mystics and see the misunderstandings, sometimes imprisonments, that were their lot. Illumination carries a price. Leave the world, leave mother, brother, sister, and father, if necessary, for my sake. Be assured that if there is illumination, there is an act of commitment to the entire world. Not just to a sect, not just to a community. It is not merely setting up office hours, 3 or 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. To receive illumination and dedication means an act of commitment to the world, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. All right, is that plain? If you're in this infinite way thing to become a master, if you're in it to draw to yourself a lot of money, if you're in it to draw to yourself a lot of chicks, a lot of girls, a lot of women, you might as well leave it now. Come back at a later date when you're ready. And that's what he was talking about earlier. You can tell. Even if you're thousands of miles away, you can tell if someone has made or is making that act of commitment by what they're doing. No one has to tell you. You can see, oh, look, John has started a tape group, and he's made an act of commitment to be there every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And the tape group is growing. So you can see by looking at the student. A lot of people have judgments and believe that I'm in this for that or that for this, and they are mistaken. This is my act of commitment. It's part of it. God does not reveal himself lightly or for selfish purposes or to those who would use God. The pure in heart are those who understand the nature of the two commandments as constituting the rhythm of the universe. And in obedience to those two commandments, they are in attunement with the rhythm of the universe as it flows from the silence that they attain within themselves. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Be still and know that I, in the midst of you, am God. Be still and let the rhythm flow from that silence within your own being, and then follow it with the act of commitment that aligns you. If anyone's name is to survive as a spiritual leader or teacher, it must be that of an individual who has come into attunement with the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of all mankind, of all men and all women and all children everywhere. It leaves no one out. There is a spirit in man, and it is to this that we attune ourselves, and then receive fruitage as we attain the state of consciousness that enables us to make the act of commitment. Whether it is to leave our nets, to sell all that we have, to purchase the pearl, or to leave mother and father, there is an act of commitment that unites us with God and man. So, your consciousness is the spirit out of which flows obedience to the two great commandments. Faith without works is dead. So you can have a belief in this, but if there's no act of commitment, it's dead. Dead. Consciousness of spirit without a corresponding act as the word made through love to all, enemies and friends, is the infinite way of life. It is the rhythm of God. All right, so do you understand now what is meant by an act of commitment? I think you do. We come to the infinite way, we practice its principles, maybe we're practicing the presence of God, we find that harmony comes, synchronicity, we find ourselves in the right place at the right time, and we find ourselves in the rhythm of God. Now we have something. We have proof that the principle works. And it so inspires us that we feel the love as it flows out from consciousness. My spiritual teacher was asked one time, "What is love?" And he responded with, "It's the same at 10 o'clock in the morning as it is at 12 midnight." Because this fellow had called him at 12. And he was joking around. Then he answered the question. He said, action. Action? Yes. Love is action. You do something for someone without a price tag, just for love. And so it's action. Love is an act of commitment. You say you love the world. You say you love all people. Where is your act of commitment based on that love? If it's really love, you will have one. We won't have to look too far to see it. If it's just a feeling, then it's not love. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Mother Teresa, if you recall, spent a lot of time loving the poor, loving the sick, and acted on it. She acted on it. Now, I'm not saying you have to become Mother Teresa, because most of this should be done without anybody finding out. If you can do it without anybody finding out, then it's spiritual love. Years and years and years and years ago, I was working in a drugstore as a manager, and it occurred to me, hey, I know what I can do to pour out love even here. And so I got myself a phone book. What's a phone book? For those of us that remember, it's a book full of phone numbers and addresses. So I got myself some envelopes, and I put some money in each envelope, at least $10. And I closed my eyes and pointed at the phone book, and wherever my finger landed, I wrote that address on the envelope. I put no return address. I just put a little note that said, because I love you. And I mailed those out. I suppose someday, if there really is such a thing as a life review, I will see what happened. But until then, all I know is that I sent out love anonymously. And it's fun to do. Anyway, this isn't about that. This is about an act of commitment. Each one of those things we act on proves we have a commitment to these principles. I am loving God. I am loving my neighbor as myself. I'm giving without a price tag. Doing something for someone without a price tag. I remember one time I was working in a factory, and after work I went out and got in my car, and I noticed that one of the workers, a Chinese fellow, was standing with his hood open and looked like he was totally lost. So I swung by and I said, come on, I'll give you a ride. And I gave him a ride to his house, which wasn't very far away. And I never thought any more about it. Now, in those days, I smoked cigarettes, and I tell you that for a reason. This man did not smoke, and neither did anyone in his family. But the next day or two, when I saw him at work again, he invited me to have dinner He invited myself and my wife to have dinner at his place. So we said yes. And we went over there, and the first thing this guy did is he offered me a cigarette. My brand, Marlboro's. Which was something. Proved that he observed. Anyway, they laid out the most fantastic Chinese dinner. It was better than most of the Chinese restaurants I go to or have been. It was delicious and delightful, and his kids were friendly, and it was just really a nice evening. Now, I didn't do that for this. I did it because here was someone in need, and that was my act of commitment that day. You see, we really do have to act on this. We really do. And that's what brings it real to you, to us. So, we see that the principles are working. We return to our meditation. We realize that we want to give this away. How can we give it away? Not many people want it. Yes, but everyone wants love. And so we can give it away by loving our neighbor as ourselves. We can give it away by loving God and in our meditation allowing God to flow through. I have a friend who has a rather large cabin with a porch that goes 3/4 of the way around, and sometimes birds come in and get stuck. I have seen how gently she goes out there and picks up the bird and gently shows it the way out, and then the bird flies away. That is an act of love, an act of commitment. I see it. I know it. If we all live by this, imagine a world where everyone loved their neighbor as theirself. People neighbor, animal neighbor, plant neighbor. I suppose there's a way to love insects, but I haven't found it yet. Okay. You see what this chapter means? Yes, you have an inner realization. Yes, you feel that inner love. Yes, you must have an act of commitment. Okay, we'll pause a little bit and see if there's anything more that wants to come out. I have taken this principle to work in different environments. I worked for a little while as a substance abuse counselor. And we had some Native Americans that came from Montana, I think it was. I guess they were Flathead Indians. Anyway, one was in my office upstairs one time, and he explained his dilemma. He was a Native American, and he wanted to practice the Native American beliefs. But his family were Catholics, and they wanted him to practice the Catholic beliefs. And he just couldn't bring himself to do it. So, it came to where it was my turn to talk, and I said, look, why don't you just go home and be the best Native American you can be? And I guess he bought that, because I never saw him again, never heard from him again. All right, so what am I saying? I'm saying that there are many ways to practice an act of commitment. Many ways. We had a dog that wasn't ours. It just wandered onto the property here. And it had, I don't know, something like 13 ticks attached. Well, I unscrewed ticks. Ticks will unscrew like a light bulb. You unscrew it backwards and it comes out, pops out. You don't have to put anything on it. I mean, you can when you're done to cleanse the area, but you don't have to put gasoline on it to get it out or any of those crazy things. You just grab it with some forceps or some tweezers or even pliers and slowly unscrew it and it'll pop out. So I did that 13 times, got all the ticks off, and, you know, gave the dog some treats and sent it on its way. It actually belonged to somebody down the street, but I guess they never looked too closely at their dog. All right. I also did this at work. I worked in a factory and we were making digital magnetic tape drives. And it occurred to me, why don't I see how many of these I can do in a couple of days? Just for the factory, not for me. And I did it. I did a whole week's worth in 2 days or 2.5 days. The plant manager came out and shook my hand and told me I was doing a great job. Because, see, they all passed inspection. When you do something out of love, it passes inspection. Or, if you're cooking for your family, it fulfills them. Anything you do out of love is an act of commitment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I thank you every week for coming to hear this talk and drawing this out. I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. I may have a couple of ideas, but sometimes what comes out is entirely different than the idea. Sometimes what comes out is just my love for the topic. And that seems to be enough. So again, I thank you for pulling this out of my consciousness and taking the time to listen and loving these talks and being devoted to the principles you discover. I appreciate your act of commitment. Thank you. God bless. peace.